I want to invite you to come along with me back into some of my thoughts. But before we go too far into those, we're going to stay on the narrow path of the good ones. There have been some verses that took me captive for the last few weeks. And it was apparent that it had to become the sermon text. So the initial preparation was, of course, for a Sunday that we didn't come here due to weather circumstances. But nonetheless, it still has meaning and preparation for us today. So as we have prepared for, and now we are past our Christmas day, and the scrolling thoughts through my mind, that of a meditation, I want to look at exactly how these two verses can impact our what was Christmas Day, but now our everyday faith walk with our God through His Son. So we're going to look today at our sermon text. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3. And Bibles is so cliche, your tablet or e-reader or phone if you want to turn on the app. So here we are from Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3. But in these days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Those two verses, we could go on for a long time on what God is sharing there. And I understand that. And that's what I love about God's word. Just in those couple of lines, He has so much to share with us. And the more you read, the more you think you understand, the more you realize God has so much that we're not going to ever comprehend in our current state. But while I'm not trying to overwhelm any one of us, including myself, just yet, as much as these two verses have weighed on my mind, we're going to draw them down just to the section, the Son is the radiance of God. What does that mean? Well, hopefully we can come to a better conclusion this morning. And this is what we're going to focus our time on. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The use of the word radiance certainly is a warming thought, or at least in my mind, as we've had some rather bone-chilling days even prior to the start of winter, thus the very day that we didn't join here. So bone-chilling, and this was all playing out right in that time frame. In an attempt to understand what God was trying to teach us as we read, I thought about my own current understanding of what radiance is, let alone how radiance then applies to God Himself and to His glory. So as the thought was in my mind, all of a sudden, there was this breeze right down the back of my neck, icy and chilly. I knew at that moment I was ready for the radiant heat that could then warm me up. Brought back memories of a time when I would go to the babysitter, be playing out in the snow. This house was ginormous, and it had the old radiators in it. I could remember the times of coming in cold and shaking, snow just falling out everywhere as you strip down to the bottom layers where the snow hadn't quite got yet. You'd lay the gloves, the mittens, whatever they were, the hats, scarves, the coats on the radiator. They would dry, they would warm up, preparing them for the next round. And you would get to enjoy and stand close and feel the warmth of the radiator. But you know, the second round, after those clothes are warm, you put them on, you're invincible. You're going to make sure someone else comes in with more snow than you had this time. But of course, that's not the reference to the radiance that we're looking for in this verse. So I thought again about my understanding of radiance. I went to and found the definition from Merriam-Webster, and it was ever so helpful. They say the quality or state of being radiant. Boy, they went real far on that one. So obviously we had to look up another word. So then we looked up radiant, and by we, I mean me and these fumbly things. And all of a sudden, we have something that sort of makes sense. So if something's radiant, it is radiating rays or reflecting beams of light. Okay, I'm starting to follow here. Vividly bright and shining and glowing. And here's the one that really fit with my mind. Emitted or transmitted by radiation. Oh, not that one, sorry. Got ahead of myself. Emitting or relating to radiant heat. So Jesus is the heat of God. No, not exactly, but yes, at the same time. He is not at all limited to that type of radiation, to that type of radiance. So I thought about the other personal understanding of radiance, or that of radiant, now that we have to almost define radiance with its own word, radiant. So here's the one that came to mind as an often referred to radiant bride. All eyes were on the radiant bride in her flowing gown as her father escorted her down the aisle. Although her face was covered with the veil, the radiance, her radiance, shone forth. They reached the altar and the waiting groom. The bride kissed the father and placed something in his hand. The guests in the front pews responded with ripples of laughter. Even the pastor smiled broadly. As her father gave her away in marriage, the bride gave him back his credit card. All right, so I'm striking out here on my own radiance understanding. Merriam-Webster was oh so helpful. But if we want to understand God's word, we've got to turn into God's word. And so that's where we went. So what's really being taught about the radiance of God, especially his glory, that Jesus took it on? As I knew I needed to go further, I then was able to get past my own silliness and start to think about God's word and how it might relate. The first one that popped to mind was that of Moses and how his face became radiant after he was in the physical presence of God. And that's found in Exodus 34, 29 through 35. So now we're going to read this just briefly here as we start to get a little understanding of godly radiance. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant, radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. Now, just as a side note, there's discussion on why he veiled his face. That can be a topic for other discussion, but the fact is, when he was in the physical presence of God, specifically God's glory, he himself showed the evidence that he had been in the presence of God's glory. Now, mind you, we're going to learn a little bit more about that glory in just a second. So as I was recounting these events, it then started to come back to me as I thought about Moses. Well, what about the Israelites together? How did God show and share his glory with them? And quickly, it finally started turning that he illustrated himself, his glory, in that of the cloud, the pillar of fire, the provision of manna, and obviously, even to us, through his creation. There were many specific and special ways that God had shown his glory in the Old Testament. Specifically, Exodus 33, here we have a part to get another little glimpse of God's glory. Moses wanted to see more of God's glory, as he had seen some. He wanted more. But God had to share with him what would come to anyone that would see God's full glory. At all times in the Old Testament, God had to restrain from showing his full glory, lest anyone that would see it would be consumed. Yet God shared just enough to make sure that they recognized God and who he was through the glory that he shared with them. During the preparation of this sermon, I was able to come across a lesson and to hear it from Dr. John MacArthur, I believe it is. If it's not doctor, he might as well be. But he is able to go into this subject so much further than I with the studies at this point. But he illumined Isaiah 40, verse 5. That's one definitely to write down if you would. Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord is spoken. Now Isaiah obviously had lived after the time of Moses and the Israelites when they had seen parts of God's glory. But he's saying that there will be more to be revealed later. Isaiah the prophet had given us information such as Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We recognize that. That ties immediately to Jesus. Isaiah knew that there would be an even greater revealing of God's glory one day than what he had known about in the Old Testament. God was sharing with him what was to come, a revealing that would represent the fullest radiance of God himself the earth had ever seen. God was sharing with Isaiah about the Savior's pending birth and even beyond to the point of his return. Just for a moment before we go back into the New Testament, I want to bring our attention to Ezekiel. We're learning bits and pieces about God's glory. Ezekiel in chapter 1 tries to explain it for us. And I have to say tries because I'm not going to read it now. I encourage you to look through that at your own time. You will understand this summary of Ezekiel chapter 1. He had been called by God. He had been shown amazing things. And he was trying to put it into writing to share with the rest of us, the rest of the world, what God had shown him. And it gets almost confusing. The best he could do is symbolism. God was sharing so much with him, we can't comprehend it all. In our current state, we cannot understand the full glory of God. It brings us to the point where we understand what it meant that God told Moses, you can't see all my glory, or you'll be consumed. We live in a sinful state that cannot be in the presence of our Lord and our Savior, especially in his full glory. We're moving back to our New Testament, and I want to jump again or read again our sermon scripture verse from Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3. But in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. In the New Testament, we can find another couple of references that will help us to start to see what it is about the glory of God. We can first look to 2 Peter 1, 16 through 19. And this is a remembering back to the transfiguration of Jesus. And it reads as follows. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father, when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. There were some men that got to see how much of God's glory that Jesus possessed, yet they didn't see it all. They were shown that they could be the eyewitnesses of the true glory, the glory of God that was put and bestowed upon Jesus. The one that we just celebrated his birth, he represented God's glory to the fullest extent this world had known to that date, and to this date yet. We're being shown here that God's glory was placed upon Jesus. And around Jesus at that moment, there was such great radiance. Most of the time, that's referring to such a bright light. Really, I would say it's less physical and more spiritual, and the fact that there's a point in time it just grabs you and says, "You don't come close. This is not for you. Not yet." It strikes to the core, back to the time when the Israelites and Aaron even seen Moses in his radiant face. They stepped back and even walked away from him in awe of what they were seeing, scared to an extent. But that's where we have to understand what God is trying to do through Christ in sharing the radiance of himself with his Son. The only thing that Christ can radiate is that of God's glory, which then consists of his nature, consisting of justice, mercy, love, grace, omniscience, and the list can go on. Christ came as God in human form to best bring us into God's glory. We look to Ephesians 5:27, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Christ himself brought the full glory of God that he could reveal to this world to ultimately make his church to be radiant, to shine, to emit his love and the rest of his nature to this world. And that's where he had to take away and pay the purification price for sin. And he did that for his church. So that lesson that I was able to come across, he used some analogies that might help us a little bit to understand as closely as we can God's true glory. So he used the Son as a reference point, which we can somewhat relate to and understand. And this is the S-U-N, just to give us an idea. Illustrating the sun and what comes from it, heat and light. You cannot take either of those things away without then changing the sun itself. Those things we can start to comprehend. We understand when the sun's shining like it was this morning. Even on a cold day, once you're insulated from the outside, that sun beams in on your black jacket, you start to bake. We understand that. The light. When I got here, I was just looking over this just to be refreshed again. Opened the door and the sun was shining from the south. We'd pulled facing the north. Opened the door, the sun came in and reflected off of my paper and its radiance. And it was hard to look at. Christ paid it all so that you and I can grow in our place of radiance as part of his church. The type of radiance that can stagger those around us because of the glory of God that shows through us. It is my prayer as we're entering this new year that each one of us can become polished, that more and more of God's glory can show through us, but only as it's according to his will. That we can allow his brilliant radiance, the radiance of his glory, to shine through us vividly for all to see. If you'll stand and sing our closing song with me today. I want to leave us on just a couple of scriptures here. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He's better than we deserve. Provides for us beyond our wants, especially here. Beyond our needs into our wants is what I'm trying to say. I'll wake up for next service, I think. But understand that there's so much glory around us. The things that were of the Old Testament were that of a whisper. In Christ's word, in God's word, it was that of a voice, that of speaking. Yet through Jesus Christ, his glory shouts to get our attention. John 14:7, which perfectly follows John 14:6. If you really knew me, this is Jesus speaking, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Have no doubt in your mind that the glory of God is fully within the being of Christ. When we know Jesus Christ, we know God, our Father. May we go out, may we rejoice this year and praise him, looking for and seeking out more and more of his glory that we can point it out to those around us. Thank you for coming this morning. If you'll bow with me as we close our service today. Father, we thank you for a glimpse into your glory. How we're not able to really withstand your glory at this time. But Father, there's promises throughout your word that we will get to join you in your glory when it's through your Son, Jesus Christ, when we're stripped away from that of this fallen world. And Father, we rejoice today in that promise. We rejoice for all the ways that you show and share your glory with us. May we be more aware and more able to share with others about your true glory and about the gift of salvation that you've sent us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us through this year and into this year that we can impact so immensely and greatly through your will for us and our church. May we be the radiance that you request of us, radiating your nature, your glory, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that you gave to us. Lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.